Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey, well, here at North Point, we have declared that 2022 is our year to advance. That's right. Now you can join in with the seven people that said it, and everybody can say it. 2022 is the year to advance. And that word advance means to move forward in a purposeful way. To move forward in a purposeful way, that you would move forward on purpose and with purpose. You see, there is a difference between existing and advancing, because everybody on the planet today is moving forward. Time is moving forward. The difference is are you moving forward in a purposeful way? That's the difference between existing and advancing. And I don't want to be a person that's just existing on the earth. I want to be a person that is advancing on the earth. Another definition means to make progress. I don't want to live my life stuck. I don't want to live my life stagnant. No, I want to live my life making progress and moving into everything that God has in store for me. But I will tell you that it is not possible for us to advance without hope. If you do not have hope, you cannot move into the life that God created you to live. And that's why we've spent the last few weeks in this series entitled Hopeful. Hopeful. How do we live our lives full of hope? And we started this year with this idea that there was a stance for us to advance, and that we would honestly, we would never advance beyond our stance. And we define that word stance as our mental and emotional position that we have adopted with respect to something. That you will never be able to go beyond your mental position. You will never be able to go beyond your emotional position. You will not be able to move past the stance that you are in life. And in the first series of the year, we did a series on advance, and it's our year of advance, but we did a whole month. And if you weren't here in January, I really encourage you, because this whole year is really building off of this concept of advance. And I would encourage you, you can find those messages on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts, but I would encourage you to listen to that series. Because within that series, we defined the stance to advance. What does this position look like? And we said that it is this. It is the positive attitude and hopeful outlook we daily choose in order to make progress and move forward in a purposeful way. And the series that we've been in, the last few weeks that we've been talking, this series literally came out of the definition that was created for our stance to advance, because it says right there, it's the positive attitude, which that is about today. Attitude means it is our way of thinking and feeling about someone or something. It's the way that we've settled into thinking and feeling. And so that is about my today, my positive attitude today. But my hopeful outlook is the hope that I have for a better tomorrow. The hope for what is actually possible. And my stance to advance has to have both. I've got to have the right attitude today, but then I need this outlook of hope for my tomorrow. And I need you to know right up front that hope is not a thing of chance, but it's a thing of choice. Hope is not a thing of chance. The stars don't have to be aligned perfectly for you to have hope. Everything in your life does not have to be going right for you to have hope. No, hope is not up to chance. Hope is up to choice. That every single day, and that's why we put it in the definition, that we choose daily. It's your daily choice. You get to choose to get in a hopeful stance every single day. And so if we say that I'm never going to be able to advance beyond my stance, and I can't advance without hope, then how many of you understand? We got to put hope in our daily stance. We have to choose hope each and every day. And this is how we can choose hope, and this is honestly why we should choose this hopeful outlook, and it's found in our scripture for this series. We've been reading this every week, Romans 15:13, and it says this, the Apostle Paul writing, he was a leader in the early church, and he says, I pray that God, the source of hope, everybody say source of hope. I pray that God, the source, he is an unlimited source of hope for each and every one of us. And he says, this is what I pray. I pray that he would fill you completely. Not halfway, not just a little dabble, do you? Okay? But that he will fill you completely with joy and peace as you trust in him. Then you will overflow with this confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, each and every one of us can live hope-filled lives. Why? Because it is the God of hope that fills our lives. So we can live hope-filled. Why? Because this is God's promise to us. Whenever you choose to make Jesus Christ your Savior and Lord, and you invite God to be a part of your life, this is what God says, I'm going to come and I'm going to fill you with my Spirit. I am going to come and dwell in you. The Creator comes and lives within the creation. Well, when the Creator comes and fills his creation, everything that is in the Creator comes and lives inside of you. So if he is the God of hope, when the God of hope comes and fills your life, you are now filled with what? Hope. Yes, you are filled with hope. But not only, look, God is so good. Not only does he fill you with himself, but God also fills you with all of the things that you need to live the life he created you for. So he comes and makes all of these things possible. Through his power, he makes it possible for you to live in peace. Through his power, he makes it possible for you to live full of joy. Through his power, he comes and makes it possible for you to be full of love and patience. Through his power, he comes and he gives you everything that you need for living this life. So we know that we can be full of hope, regardless of how dark your past might be, regardless of how dim it might presently be in your life. Listen to me. We can be full of hope. Why? Because we have a promise from God that he will come and fill us with himself and that he will fill us with everything we need to live the life that he created us for. Now, we've been saying in this series that if we are going to access the life that Jesus came for us to have, which in John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. I've come that you might have it to the full, in abundance until it overflows. This is the life that Jesus came for us to have. But before we can move into that life, we must first walk through the doorway of hope. Everything that God has for you is accessed through the doorway of hope. And so what we've been saying this year is that we want to advance into abundance. We don't want to advance into average. We don't want to advance into mediocrity. I hope nobody in this room is just trying to advance into normal. No, I hope you are trying to advance into everything that God said was possible. And he said, it's possible for you to live full. It's possible for you to live in the overflow. It is possible for you to experience the more that God has for you. But we're only going to access that life if we first walk through the doorway of hope. Now, in church, if you grew up in church, you have probably heard more messages on faith than you have hope. You've probably heard that the word faith used more than the word hope. But I want you to know today that you cannot walk in faith if you don't first pass through hope. You can't walk in faith if you don't first pass through hope. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it's what is referred to as the Hall of Fame of Faith, okay? It's where so many of the heroes of the Old Testament are listed with their great achievements and what they did and what they accomplished and how they expanded the kingdom of God on the earth and the greatness of God. It's a great chapter, but the chapter starts this way in verse 1 in Hebrews 11. The writer of Hebrews gives us a little definition for faith, and this is what he says. Now, faith is confidence in what we hoped for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confidence in what we hope for, meaning that there's got to be hope for us to have faith. It's confidence in what we hope for. Hope comes first, faith comes next. Now, other translations say this, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, okay? That faith is the Greek word. It literally means like a foundation, okay? That faith is like what is secure. It's what is firm. It's what's solid. It's what's grounded. Faith is the substructure, if you would. And that's why in some translations it say that faith is the confidence, or other translations say that faith is the assurance of these things that are hoped for. Why? Because faith substantiates our faith. Faith substantiates our hope. It makes our hope stable. So I want you to see how this works together, because faith and hope are always working together. But what happens is that hope spurs faith, and then faith secures hope. So our hope is what spurs us to take the step of faith, and that it is faith that actually begins to secure our hope. You see, there first has to be a hope for us to put our faith in. Let me just show you how this works. Let me give you an example. There first has to be a hope of eternity before I can put my faith in God and in Jesus Christ and move into eternity. There has to be first a hope of salvation, okay, before I will ever experience salvation and walk the process of salvation. There first must be a hope of salvation. Before I will ever experience healing in my body and walk in faith for the healing of my heart, before that ever happens, there must first be hope in a God that can heal. So hope is the thing that comes first. So what happens is that it is hope that it is possible is what spurs faith. And then my faith becomes like a foundation stone. It becomes like the ground. It becomes the security and the firmness. Now my hope is setting on. So a minute ago, I just had hope for what was possible, but now faith is coming underneath. And now I have a firm foundation for what I was hoping for. Why? Because my hope is for something that is in the future, but my faith is based upon something that is in the past. And when I look back in the past, I see that there is a God who has been faithful to heal, and there's been a God that's been faithful to protect, and there's a God that's been faithful to provide. And it's written in scripture to encourage me and to inform me about this God that I'm serving. And you could walk around this room right now and you could talk to people about how God has been faithful to them in the past. So whenever I have a hope of what he can do in my future, now I'll put faith underneath that, and faith becomes the foundation, knowing that my hope is not just in something that I hope it gets better, but my hope is now in faith in a God who promised that he would be faithful to me. But I first have to have the hope that is possible before I'll ever walk in faith for it. But then faith comes under, and faith becomes this firm foundation that secures my hope, because now my hope is no longer in just, I hope it's possible. Now I know God will do what he promised. A writer of Hebrews, we just read in Hebrews 11, and that's where we're going to go back to in just a moment. But let's just like rewind it like 20 verses. And in Hebrews chapter 10, see, he's building up to this definition of faith. He's building up to these heroes. And in chapter 10, in verse 23, this is what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. Let us hold tightly. He's saying, whatever you do, do not let hope go. Hold tightly to hope and do not waver. Do not let go of hope. Don't let go of this hope that you profess. Don't let go of this hope that you affirm. Why? For God can be trusted to keep his promise. So we have this hope about what is in the future. Listen, hope is always for something in the future. The Bible says in Romans that there's no need to hope if you already see it. If it's in front of you, you don't have a need for hope. The reason that you hope is because you don't see it yet. You're hoping for something that is to come. So he says, there's this hope that we profess. There's this hope that we profess about eternity. right? There's this hope that we profess, not just about eternal life, but there's this hope that we profess about abundant life, that I won't always live the life that I'm living right now. That I'm going to grow, that I'm going to improve, that I'm going to get better. There's going to be more of God shining through my life in 10 years than there is today. This is the hope that I am affirming. This is the hope that I am professing in my life. I don't see it yet, but I believe it's possible. So it's in the future. But my faith, right, is not just tied to what's in the future. My faith is tied to what's in the past, and that's what he says in the scripture. He says, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. You have a promise about what he can do, so you put your hope in what's possible in the future. But you put your faith in the God who's done it already in the past. So I've got hope for what's possible in my future, but I got faith that's connected to this God that is, look, God has a track record of faithfulness. You can look back and see that God has done it before. And because he has a track record of doing it before, I believe that he will also keep his promises to me as well. So I've got this hope that I'm professing, but then I've got this faith in this God who has a track record and he will keep his promise. So I've got this hope and I've got this faith. And then he takes this, like the very next verse, he just goes into this and he says, so let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and to good works. What he's saying here is he's saying, hey, look, you've got to hold on to this hope of the life that's possible. And you've got to hold on to faith of the one who actually will give you what you need and create the foundation for you to walk into that life. And then he says, and hey, look, this is what it's going to look like when you do that. You're going to be inspiring and motivating people to love one another and to do good works. Why is it? Because hope is the essential element. I got a little graphic for you today because I want you to see how this goes. Hope is the essential element that activates faith. Okay, that's what we've been talking. Hope will activate faith. Hope will activate faith. And when your faith is activated, now all of a sudden you can attain faithfulness. And when you attain faithfulness, it helps you to advance into the fruitfulness that God has in store for you. But notice where it all starts. It all starts with hope in what is possible. This is what the writer of Hebrews was just saying. Let me tie it back into this verse. He was saying, okay, you've got this hope that you're affirming. Then you've got this faith that has to be activated in the God who can make it possible. That's going to activate your faith. And then when your faith is activated, what do? When faith is activated, I become more faithful. I become faithful to what he's called me to do and who he's called me to be. So I'm going to be doing what? I'm going to be looking for people to motivate to love. I'm going to be looking for people to encourage them to good works. Now I'm going to be faithful to what God has asked. And now the amazing thing is when I'm faithful to what God asks, what happens to my life? My life gets more fruitful. But it all starts with hope. Hope of what's possible is the key to living a life that is fruitful. Now, here's what happens so many times, is that instead of me starting with hope of the abundant life, hope of the more, hope of the overflow, this is where I start. I put guilt, shame, and condemnation on the top. And I start out of a negative way trying to get to fruitfulness in my life. Well, you know, I mean, I really should be doing this. And so I come to church, right? Not for the hope that God's going to speak a word to me that's going to radically transform my life and heal the relationships around me, and that today I'm going to receive something that changes the trajectory of my life. I'm going to receive something today that's going to build the future that God has for me. I don't come with the hope. I come because I just want to check the box that says I went to church this week so I can feel better about myself. I don't read the Bible every day going, wow, today could be the day where I get a revelation from God's word that I see something I've never seen, and it changes the way that I raise my children. It changes the way that I relate to my spouse, and it puts my life in a completely transformed state, and I'm never the same again. Instead, I take out my Bible and I read it just so I can check the box so God sees I did my Bible reading today. Or I serve at church Because, I mean, man, Pastor Philip and Destiny, they always talk about serving. And, man, I just feel like, okay, man, that's what I probably should do. And so I'm going to sign up to serve. And the reason I'm serving, it's really out of guilt, shame, and condemnation, because I don't want to feel bad for not doing it, because I sit in the room and they say, hey, we need you to do it. And I don't want to feel bad. So I'm going to serve, and I'm going to serve. And maybe if I serve enough, whenever I stand before God, God will, like, give me a green check by my name, because I served so much at church. But it's coming out of guilt, shame, and condemnation, instead out of the hope that you might encounter somebody today that you can motivate to love, that you can encourage and inspire, that their life might be forever changed simply because they came into relationship with you and you changed their whole life. And it's the hope that God could use somebody like me today. But instead of serving out of hope, I serve out of guilt, shame, and condemnation. And then I'm confused because I can't ever understand why I'm not getting to fruitfulness. Because fruitfulness doesn't come out of guilt, shame, and condemnation. Fruitfulness comes from hope. The hope that you can live in abundance. And when we talk about that, I understand that sometimes it makes people feel a little uncomfortable. Hey, I can live in the more. I can live in the overflow. I can live in the supernatural life that God, I can live that life. And there's this thought that, like, well, okay, well, I mean, yeah, maybe the missionaries and the pastors and the people that graduated from seminary, okay, maybe that's for them, but not for me. But God says, no, it's for everybody. The abundant life is for everybody. God's desire for you is that you would live in the overflow of everything that He has for you. But do you know where it starts? With hope. With you hoping for this amazing abundance. For you hoping for this freedom in your life. For you hoping for this healing of your heart. For you hoping for this strength and this courage. For you hoping for your children. For you hoping for your marriage. For when you have this great supernatural hope of what it can be, because we serve a God that has no limits. And if He's the God of hope, He will fill me with hope. But not just hope, He'll fill me with peace and joy and everything that I need to live the life that He created me for. So why am I going to go through life with guilt, shame, and condemnation trying to get to fruitfulness when I can have this hope in everything that He said was possible is mine? So we have to see, this is the way we get to fruitfulness. It starts with hope. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is trying to get us to see. He's saying, don't let go of hope. Don't let go of hope, because hope's going to activate that faith. And that faith is what's going to help you to actually be faithful to what God said. And after you're faithful, that's what's going to lead you into the fruitfulness and the abundance, into the life that God actually has for you. He keeps writing in Hebrews 10, and just goes down a few verses later in verse 36 of Hebrews 10. And he says, hey, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. We've done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. All right, let me just ask you a question. It's not a true question. Have they received it yet? No, thank you for the three people that answered after I told you it's not a trick question. Because if it says you will receive it, it means you ain't got it yet. So what are we talking about? We're talking about hope. We're talking about hope in the promise of God. So he says, hey, look, this is what you need to do. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, when you have lived life God's way, after you have lived that way, then you will receive. You see, that's where we have hope. We have hope in what we will receive, because I don't have it all yet, but I will receive it. So I have hope in God for that. And then he goes on in verse 38. And here the writer of Hebrews, he takes from the prophet Habakkuk, and this is what he says. He says, but my righteous one will live by faith, and I will take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. So when he says, hey, you need to persevere so that you can do the will of God, here the writer of Hebrews, he kicks back and he says, oh, I remember what Habakkuk said about doing the will of God, about being a righteous person. That just means living rightly. It means trying to live according to the standards and the principles of God. He says, I remember what he says about that. He says, if you want to live rightly, the only way that you can live rightly is if you live by faith. So you have to live by faith in order to live rightly, to live the life that God created you for. And he says, I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But in verse 39, he says, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we belong to those who have faith and are saved. That's who we belong to. We don't belong to the people who are shrinking back. No, we belong to the people who are advancing forward. We don't belong to the people who are being destroyed. We belong to the people who are being saved and experiencing victory and the abundance that God has for each and every one of us. But how is that possible? Because we have a hope, and that hope has caused us to live in faith. Now let's go to the actual prophet Habakkuk and what he actually said, where the writer of Hebrews actually gets this from. He says, then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. Come on, I want you to see this. He's saying, write this revelation. Some translations say vision. Write it down on tablets so there can be a herald, or there can be a messenger that would run with this message, that would run with this vision, that would run with this revelation. Okay, what are we talking about? We're talking about hope, because a revelation is something that is having to be revealed because you didn't see it before. Nobody says, well, I've got a vision for the future when they can see it right in front of them. No, it's a vision. So a vision and a revelation, he says, write this down. God is giving me a vision. Write this down, because you need to run and you need to share this vision, and the messenger is going out. You see, there always has to be a messenger of hope, a messenger of the vision for what God wants to do in your life. That's what it looks like when you start getting, that's why people start freaking out a little bit when they start really thinking about living the abundant life. Because like, I don't feel like that's for me. Like, I mean, I'm still watching a little pornography. I'm still doing some things I shouldn't be doing. Like, I mean, I'm not reading my Bible like I really should. And, you know, I mean, I only come to church like once a month right now. And like, oh God, I mean, I don't really feel like that. And there's a message of hope that's saying, hey, it doesn't have to be that way anymore. Hey, you really can live free. Hey, there really is a power on the inside of you that will help you change and transform. There is a message of hope that is going out. But listen, if you don't have hope in the message, if you don't have hope in the revelation, if you first don't get a vision, oh my God, I could be free. You telling me that I don't have to live with this selfishness all of my life? Are you telling me that I don't have to live with this addiction all of my life? Are you telling me that I could break out of this negativity, that I don't have to live with sarcasm all of my life, that I don't have to let pessimism be the driving force? Are you telling me that something in my life could change? Yeah, and if you don't see it, if you don't get a vision for it, that's why there has to be a message. This is why we come to church, because what I'm telling you is God has a vision for your life, and it's bigger than anything you've ever seen. And so what happens is the messenger has to go out and he has to enlarge the vision. So what? So that you might be able to see what's possible, so that you might say, wow, I've got a hope that I really might have that one day. Hope is just simply seeing clearly what God has for your lives, and then you begin to believe that. You begin to have hope in that. And when you put hope in that, what does it do? It sets your direction towards God. It sets your directions towards God. And that's what faith is. Faith, it sets your direction towards God. And then when you start moving towards God, guess what? You start moving in faithfulness. You start moving towards him in faith, and you start moving in faithfulness. And as you're moving in faithfulness, you start acting rightly. God starts doing the right things in you, and you start moving towards God. And that movement towards God is what actually gives you the fruitfulness that you are looking for in your life. This is the power of hope. Listen to me. We do not have hope just so we will feel better. We have hope because it will activate faith. We have hope because it will help us attain faithfulness. We have hope because it will advance us into fruitfulness. That's why we have hope. We do not have hope just so we can feel better about the day. Well, I'm just hoping, yeah, I just got some hope. I'm just trying to feel better. You know what I mean? I don't want to feel bad, so I'm just going to have a little hope today. No. Hope is the key to our destiny. Hope is the key to you stepping into the abundant life that God created you for. Hope is not just some little thing that you do to make the day a little more comfortable. No, hope is the key to you receiving everything that God said was possible in your life. We have a little motto this year, and you see it on the graphics that we have for the year, and it just simply says, I can, I will, I must. I can, I will, I must. Years ago, I saw a motivational speaker named Eric Thomas, and this was the thing, and he was speaking to an athletic group, and he had them chanting this, man, I never will forget it. And actually, last night, when I was going into Julietta, Julietta is our 8-year-old, she's our second child, and I was going into her room to pray with her last night, and she had felt a little bad about it, because she has asked me for a sign to put, like a nice sign to put on her wall with I can, I will, I must, and she's been asking for that for all year, ever since we kind of came into this advance, and we've been talking about it even more, and she asked for it, and I haven't done it yet, and so she's like, oh, well, if Dad ain't gonna do it, I'm gonna do it, and she took a cardboard box that came in the mail, right? And she like ripped off one of the sides of the cardboard box. It was like in the trash. She ripped it off, and I saw her ripping it off, and I was like, I didn't even, whatever, you know, she's gonna create a frisbee or something. And no, she took a black marker and she wrote on this box, I can, I will, I must, and she stuck it on her own wall, and she reads it every single day. I was like, what is this? And she was like, Dad, I couldn't wait on you anymore. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I apologize. But she took it because it's something that is inspiring her. I can, I will, I must. It's our motto, but I want to connect it to our message today, and I hope you'll never forget it. Because this is what I want to do today. I want to connect I can to hope. Because this is what hope sounds like. I can change. My attitude can get better. I can read my Bible. I can pray, I can grow as a person. My physical, mental, and emotional habits can improve. I can make a difference in my world. I can. That is where it all begins. It all starts with hope. You're not to I will, and you're not to I must, but we are there where we say, I can. It is possible for me to read my Bible every day. It is possible for me to pray. It is possible for me to change some of my physical habits. It is possible for me to change my nutrition, to change my sleep habits, to start to exercise. It is possible for me to experience growth in my life. It is possible for me to make a difference in the world. I can is connected to hope. But then we move to I will, and that's connected to faith. So I can is your hope. I will is your faith. I will change. My attitude will get better. I will read my Bible. I will pray. I will grow as a person. My physical, mental, and emotional habits will improve. I will make a difference in my world. See, what that is telling me is that what could happen, which is my I can, the hope, now the hope has transitioned to faith, where it's not just that it could happen, it's that it will happen. Now I'm activating faith on the inside of me that is going to start moving me towards everything that God has for me. I love Samuel Strandberg, a good friend, and he actually preached here years ago, and this is what he said. He said, hope is seeing a picture of a better day. Faith is seeing yourself in that picture. Hope is seeing a better day. Hope is seeing that a better day is possible. Faith is seeing yourself living out that possible. That's what faith is. I can, I will, but then it pushes us into the I must, and the I must is connected to faithfulness. I must change. My attitude must get better. I must read my Bible. I must pray. I must grow as a person. My physical, mental, and emotional habits must improve. I must make a difference in my world. You see, whenever you are living in the I must, whenever you are living in the faithfulness, it will produce greater fruitfulness in your life. Why? Because it is propelling you into action, and movement towards God will always make you more like God. Movement towards God will always make you more like God. And so I start with I can, this is possible. That's hope. I move to I will. It's not just it's possible, it's I'm going to do it now. Now faith is building on the inside of me, but now it transitions from just I'm going to, I will, it's possible for me, not just that it's possible, but it's going to happen for me. Now it moves into faithfulness, and now it's saying I must, and I start taking action, and I start moving towards what God said was actually possible for me. I can, I will, I must. I can is your hope. I will is your faith. I must is your faithfulness, taking action towards what you are hoping for. And that's what leads you to the fruitfulness that we all desire in our lives. So I just want you to see it again. I mean, there's not a person in this room that say, I don't want to be fruitful. Nobody would say, I don't want any more joy in my life. Like, no. I'm maxed out on peace right now. I mean, I have so much peace, I don't want any more, right? I mean, there's not one person in this room that would reject self-control. If I could give you a little more self-control, everybody would be lined up like Chick-fil-A. Nobody's gonna pass on that. So we all want the fruit. We all want our life and our relationships and our homes. We all want more fruit. Okay, but you have to see the pathway to get there. It starts with hope. I can, I will, I must. Back to Hebrews 11 as we bring everything to a close. Hebrews 11, verse 1, right? So now we're coming through. He's given us this pattern. He's building this idea of like there's hope and then there's faith, right? And this faith is what creates the action. He's building this for us through Hebrews 10, and he gets into Hebrews 11, and this is where he says, now faith is the confidence of what we hope for, right? There's got to be hope, but then this faith comes along. It gives us the substance, that assurance that we need. And this is what he says, this is what the ancients were commended for. And then he goes on in Hebrews 11 and he lists Noah and Abraham and talks about Jacob and Sarah and Rahab and David and Jephthah and all of the amazing things that these people did. But here's what I want you to see. As you read through Hebrews 11, this is what you'll discover. Before they were fruitful, they were faithful. And before they were faithful, they had a faith. And before they walked in faith, they had a hope. Sometimes we just read the end of the story and we're like, oh, yay, didn't they? They overthrew kingdoms and they silenced the mouths of lions and they did all these, oh, yeah, it's just so awesome that what, look at what all of they did. And we missed the whole point of what the writer of Hebrews is trying to get us to see. Because he's been talking about hope this whole time. Hold on to this hope. And then he's telling us about these stories. And we just go, oh man, look, they're real heroes. Isn't that just so awesome? Look what they did for God. That's just amazing. And we miss that he's trying to connect it to the fact that it all started with a hope. Because before Abraham was Abraham, he was Abram. And before he moved into the land that God promised him, he was in a foreign land. And before he ever packed up his family and his donkeys and all of his stuff and started on this journey to this land that God said, I'm going to show you, he first had a hope that it was possible. Before he ever took one step of faith in the direction to what God had for him, he had a hope that what God said was actually going to come to pass. Before Noah took out his hammer and his nails and started building the ark, you know, I don't even know if Noah had a hammer and nails. I don't know. Whatever it was, twigs and sticks and mud, I don't know how Noah built the ark. But whatever he did to build the ark, listen, before he ever started, he had to have a hope that that thing was going to float. Before he took the first step of faith, to start building, He had a hope that what God had spoke to him was going to come to pass, that he could build a boat that would actually float. It was a hope. And you go all the way down the list, and every single person that we see that it all started with a hope. And do you know that you are no different than the people mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11? But the only way we are going to move into the abundance that God has is if we start where they started, with this amazing hope. Hope is really the first thing that you need to lay hold of to change, for change and transformation. It's the thing that you, it's the first, it's what you have to ask. You want change and transformation? You want the abundant life? You want to overflow? You want all that God has? You have to first walk through hope. Hope is the first thing that you need. But you know what else is true about hope? I love this Italian proverb that says this: hope is also the last thing that is ever lost. Hope is the last thing ever lost. Why? Because you can lose your peace one day and get peace back the next day. Come on, you can even lose your mind on somebody and get it back in an hour. You can lose a little bit of courage and you can get it back. But when you lose hope, you've lost. When you lose hope, you've lost. And that's why the writer of Hebrews is saying you got to hold on to hope. You can't let it go. So how do we live a life where we never lose hope? I'm going to ask our musicians to come out. So here he goes all the way through Hebrews 11, telling us about all these amazing men and women and what they did for God, how they stood for God, how they believed, how they lived. And then he gets to Hebrews chapter 12. And he's telling us, this is how you don't lose hope. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Now, I want you to think about that right now. Right now, there is a crowd of witnesses, a huge crowd of witnesses, and they are watching you. They are sitting in the grandstands of heaven, and they are watching you live your life. Now, here's what we think so many times when we think about that. We go straight to the negative. And we start thinking, oh, they're watching me. Are they watching me to see how many times I mess up today? Are they watching me so that they have an opportunity to boo? I don't have patience on airline drive. Boo! I mean, you know. I lose self-control with my spouse. Boo! Start throwing stuff on the field. No. What if they're in the grandstands of heaven to do nothing more than to cheer enthusiastically for you? It's the same thing when it comes to God. You know, whenever somebody says God's watching you, I always go, oh. He's trying to catch me doing something wrong. What if God is actually watching you to congratulate you for all the things you do right? What if God says, I have my eye on you, not to point a finger and say, oh, you did that wrong, and man, you know, you missed that shot, and you had an opportunity, and you blew it over there. What if God is watching, and he's watching everything you do in your life just because he wants to clap for you at the end of the day and say, hey, I saw you at 10:30, and I saw what you wanted to say, but man, you didn't say it. I'm so proud of you. What if the heroes of heaven are sitting in the grandstands and they're not there to judge you, they're just there to cheer for you? What if they're just there and they're sitting on the front row so they can say, hey, Tim, I see you right there, man. Hey, you're doing good. Stay in the game. Don't get your head down. Come on, Tim, get your head up, man. Get your head up. Get back in the game. It's going to be okay. What if they're there saying, hey, Sarah, we know it's been tough the last few weeks, the last few months. We know you've been through a lot. But do not lose sight of hope, Sarah. If you just hang on, things are going to turn around. God is faithful. The one who promised it to you is going to give it to you. Just stay in the game. Don't quit now, Sarah. What if they're there just to cheer you on? Because they know, oh, man, You might lose a little courage. You might lose a little peace. You might lose a little bit of joy. But they know, man, they can't lose hope. Because the thing that got us to the place of fruitfulness, it started with hope. We never lost hope in this God who promised. And so they're just cheering you on and they're encouraging you from heaven because they're saying, God, you got to hold on to hope in every season of life. So there's this grandstand, this huge crowd. They're watching us. And so it says, hey, so since they're there and since they're encouraging us and since they're cheering for us, let us strip off every weight that slows us down and especially the sin that so easily trips us up and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. That alone starts with hope. Hope that God has a race for you to run. That God has a race that He marked out for you. You're not out here just going, do the best you can, man. Hope you figure it all out. Just do something good. No, God has marked a race for you, just like the Boston Marathon. They just don't get to go run 26.1 miles wherever they want to run, you know, whatever. No, they have a track that they have to run. And God has crafted a pathway for you in your life. What are we talking about? He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And guess what? You can run the race and not just run the race. You can actually win the race. Come on, man. That's where it starts with hope. Hope that there's a race for me. And hope that I can run this race and that I can break the tape, not as a failure, but as a but victorious. That I can cross the tape as a winner. It starts with hope. And that hope that there's a race for me to run and I can actually run it. And I can win. Whew, now it's activating my faith. Oh, now faith is activated. And I'm like, whew, man, there are people that have run their race before. I just read a whole bunch of them in Hebrews chapter 11. And they ran their race. And so I know if they ran their race and they finished and they were fruitful, I'm no different than Abraham. I'm no different than Sarah. I'm no different than Jacob. I'm no different than Joseph. I can run my race too. And so now I've activated faith. And so now faith is underneath my hope. There's a firm foundation for my hope. And now it starts pushing me towards faithfulness because I want to get closer to the one who's promised. And as I get closer to him, guess what? I start stripping off all these things. I don't need that anxiety anymore. I don't need to live with those limiting beliefs anymore. I don't need that fear anymore. I start shedding the weight vest as I'm running. I start shedding these weight vests and now I'm running and I'm picking up the pace as I'm moving closer and closer to God. Those things that used to trip me up, they're not tripping me up anymore. Because I'm shedding these things in my journey. I'm getting closer to God out of faithfulness. It's leading me to greater fruitfulness. It says, this is what it's like. You got to see this. It's a race and you can run it and you can win. It says, but this is the key. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. You know how you never lose hope? It's because every day you put your eyes on Jesus. I'm not talking about you know that you're a Christian or you know that you're going to heaven. I'm talking about every day you intentionally put your attention on Jesus. And here's the reason why, and I say it all the time, but your attitude always follows your attention. So when all you do is put the attention on the dysfunction of your family, when all you do is put the attention on what's being said on the breaking news, when all you do is put your attention on the troubles at work, when all you do is put your attention on this, when your attention is on the wrong thing, your attitude will move in the wrong direction. And your attitude is your settled way of thinking or feeling about something, listen, which is your future included. So whenever my attention is on the wrong thing, my attitude, my way of thinking and feeling is moving in the wrong direction. So now I'm not thinking the way that I need to think about my future. And we wonder, why am I not experiencing the abundance? Why am I not experiencing the fullness of God? Why am I not experiencing the fruitfulness in my life? And it all is because my attention is not on the right thing. I'm not saying like you don't believe in God. I'm not saying no. I'm just saying you don't intentionally put your attention on Him. Because every day that attitude is following that attention. And if we are going to move in the right direction, we got to put our attention on the one who is the champion. We got to put our attention on the one who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And when we put our hope in the God of hope, and then he allows us to walk in this faith because we know the promises of his past have come true, and now I can begin to move towards him in faithfulness, it will produce fruitfulness in my life every time, because you can't get closer to his will and his way and not live more like him. And it all started with there was a hope that it was possible. That's why you can never lose hope. Because when you lose hope, you lose the ability to move towards God. If you've lost your peace, it's okay, you can get it back. Lose your courage, it's okay, you can get it back. You lost some other things, it's okay, you can get it back. But don't lose hope. Hold on to hope no matter what. I want you to stand with me. I'm going to ask our creative team just to throw up the lead acrostic, you know, and in 2022, we said, hey, if we're going to advance, we got to lead ourselves well. And so we have an acrostic every week for what do we learn, what are we evaluating, what are we applying, and then are we doing it again? This week, our learn is just living hopeful is a choice you can make every day. It's not up to chance. Everything doesn't have to be right in the economy. Everything doesn't have to be right in your family. You can make a choice to be full of hope. It's not up to chance, it's up to choice. The evaluation is this: who are you hoping in? Which is a great question. Because if you are hoping in yourself, you're going to be disappointed. If you're hoping in your boss, if you're hoping in one of your leaders, you're going to be disappointed. Who are you hoping? Is your hope really in the God of hope? Who are you hoping in? But look at this next question. And what are you hoping for? What are you hoping for? See, whenever you've lived your life, like we talked about earlier with that guilt, shame, condemnation, like I'm trying to be fruitful because like I know this is what, you know what I should do, or the rules, the regulation, I want to be seen as a good person, whatever that might be, and I'm really acting out of this guilt, shame, and condemnation culture, then this question really throws you off. Because if you were really honest about answering that question, if you've been living that way, if you're really honest about that, what are you hoping for? This is what you're hoping for. I just hope I don't screw it up. I just hope God doesn't send me to hell. I just hope that I won't be a complete embarrassment to my family. We are hoping for the negative. This is how you know that you're not starting with hope, you're starting with guilt, shame, and condemnation. If that question right now, and you don't have some crazy, audacious, big, supernatural, blow your mind thought that you are hoping for in your future, there is a good chance that you are living out of a guilt, shame, and condemnation culture. Because every single person in this room should have say, this is what I'm hoping for in my marriage. This is what I'm hoping for in my kids. This is what I'm hoping for in my future. This is the difference that I'm hoping God will make in me. This is what I'm hoping that God will do in me. This is what I'm hoping that God will do through me. This is what I am hoping for. This is the big, crazy, ridiculous, awesome thing that I am hoping for. Why? Because I have never seen a person move towards a big God that don't have big hopes. What is the crazy thing that, and you say, God, I don't know. You need to answer that question this week. What are you really hoping for? Crazy. I'm talking about you, if you told your coworker, they would go cross-eyed looking at you. What are you believing for in your future? And let me just talk to you right now. I feel the Holy Spirit in this moment so strong. And I feel it after these child dedications that we had. You know what some of you are hoping for your kids? You're just hoping that they don't screw it up. You're just hoping that they don't go to jail. You're just hoping that they don't get addicted to drugs. You're just hoping that they can just like fly below the radar and like not cause any problem. You're just hoping that you're just hoping that they'll just be normal. Listen, I'm talking to you right now as a spiritual dad in your life. Stop that foolishness. Stop it. What are you hoping for your kids? What are you hoping that God will do in them, that God will do through them? I can't tell you what I'm hoping for my children, what I'm speaking over my children, what I'm declaring over my children. Why? Because I'm not hoping that they just won't get in trouble. I'm hoping that they'll stir up a little trouble in the world and they'll make a difference for God. Get your hopes up. What are you hoping for? I just hope we don't get divorced. I'm just hoping I don't lose my job. Come on. How about hoping that you can have the greatest marriage that ever existed? How about hoping that God can do something to turn some things so around, because you say, but man, there's so much dysfunction. I don't know if I can ever, but God could turn it around so much that the distance from where you are then to where you are in the future, you say, wow, look how far we come. That's what you got to hope for. I'm talking about getting your hopes up, man. Living full of hope in the God of hope. And it's at his word. He's the one that said it's possible. I'm not up here telling you it's possible. God said it was possible. What are you hoping for? Man, I hope some of you, I hope this gets in some of your hearts and some of your spirits. I hope you go down and I hope you either go today, this week, and you just start writing a list. This is the crazy, ridiculous things that I'm hoping for. This is what I'm hoping God does in my relationships. This is what I'm hoping God does in my finances. This is what I'm hoping God does in my business. This is what I'm hoping God does in my influence and in my impact. This is what I'm hoping God does in our church. This is what I'm hoping God will do in my small. This is what I'm hoping that God, this is what I'm hoping. I hope that you will write that and there won't be one thing up there that's just, I'm hoping that it don't go bad. Scratch that out, man. Because at the end of the day, fam, and I know you're thinking like, man, is this guy going to stand up here and talk all day long? Listen to me. Think about it. Does the God of all possibility just want you to hope that it doesn't go bad? Where does that come from? Comes from the enemy. I'm telling you, you lucked out coming to 11:15. 9:30 doesn't get all this good stuff. Some stuff just comes to me in between. Now listen, I told you, if you go all the way back in the series, I told you, where does the devil stand? The devil stands at the doorway of hope. Because it's the thing that you have to walk through to access everything God has for you. So the devil stands at the doorway of hope. And you know what the devil tries to do? He tries to negotiate with you at that doorway. Instead of believing for everything, don't just believe maybe for a little small thing. Instead of believing for everything that's possible, why don't you just believe that your kids won't turn out to be an absolute embarrassment? Why don't you just believe for your marriage? Just stay married. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome, man? If you just hung in there for 60 years, wouldn't that be great? That's where the enemy negotiates with you at the doorway of hope. Because if you don't have the ability to hope for it, hear me, you'll never walk into it. The devil stands at the doorway of hope, and that's where he negotiates with you. He tries to rob you of hope that will take you into the life that God created you for. What are you hoping for? And it better be big, and it better be crazy, and it better be mind-blowing, because that is the God that we serve. The application is to take what you're hoping for and put it through the I can, I will, I must process. Come on, just start with I can. I can. Just start right there. Write down what you're hoping for and just start with I can. I can. I can see that marriage. I can see my kids doing that. I can't. I mean, we're not even moving to faith yet. It's just what's possible. And I'm just speaking that I can't. But then put it through the process of saying, okay, I will. I will do this. I will. And then to turn it into the I must. And allow that hope to turn into faith, to turn into faithfulness that will propel you into the fruitfulness that God created you to live in. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.